I was the fireman.
I was the head teacher.
I was the managing director of a transport company.
What do these people have in common? They are all stroke survivors. Freedom from Strokes knows that everybody is different. Individual rehabilitation services from Freedom from Strokes. Take control today. My stroke changed my life. With rehabilitation, I regained my independence. I got myself the support I needed. Freedom from Strokes, 01983 861 008. Or visit the website www.freedomfromstrokes.com.
Hey, our special guest today is Bob Dalton. You've made it in from East Cowes, incredibly.
Yeah, it was a bit of a journey, but by crossing the roads, I had to go back on the chain link ferry over to Newport and down the Newport Road and cutting down Honey Hill to get to here.
Now, you managed to get here, which is fantastic, and I must admit, I'm glad you come in because I'm really looking forward to the next hour of finding out a lot more about stroke sufferers. Are you a stroke sufferer or a victim?
Well, actually, we're known as stroke survivors. On the Isle of Wight, there's 600 people every year have a stroke. Nationwide, there's 427,000 people. And a third of these people die from strokes. And a third remain severely disabled through the stroke.
Now, I don't know too many people that personally come into contact with it that have had strokes. My dad was rushed into hospital some years ago. They thought he'd had a stroke, so they put him in the stroke unit, and it turned out that he had a brain tumour instead. So, you know, but finding out, I have heard quite a few stories over the last, 10 days or so, and it's been a real eye-opener. So, hopefully in the next sort of 55 minutes or so, what do you hope to get out of it? What are you hoping that other people, feel that they're not alone and that they can, contact people? Because you're going to talk about websites, you're going to talk about help and all kinds of things, aren't you?
Yeah, there's many things and aspects to the strokes. Before my stroke, I was ignorant of strokes, unaware. I had no information really, nor did I really get interested in it. But of course, being a stroke survivor now, it really centres on my life. I think about it 24 hours a day, how I can get better, how I can get the help and support that I need.
How old were you when you had a stroke?
I only had it 18 months ago, so I was 51. I was on holiday, I went to bed able, and I woke up disabled, which was quite frightening, and I was on holiday in Spain. And I ended up going into the local hospital and spending a week there where they'd done the various MRI scans and different exercises, which said I had a blockage in my brain, which basically kills a part of the brain, and the brain has to learn new pathways to be able to perform the same tasks before, which moves your arms and legs and fingers. It really did affect me, leaving me paralysed all the way down my right-hand side from head to toe.
When you say it kills part of your brain, that's never ever going to come back. That part of your brain is never ever going to come back. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Basically, analogy is that you think of a short circuit in a circuit board. It burns part of the brain that controls your bodily functions, mainly movement, but it can affect your speech, it can affect your eyes. Stroke really does affect everything in your body, and different parts of the brain that get affected affects different movements. The left-hand side of the brain affects the right-hand side of your body, and vice versa.
We both, Shirley and I both went to see the guy from the Trogs last year at Shanklin, and he'd had a stroke about a year or so before, and he was kind of talking about it, and it was, we just felt really moved that this guy it was still capable of getting on a stage and banging out Wild Thing, which was incredible. Reg Presley was the gentleman's name. But I mean, you look to me like, I've kind of done a bit of research on it, and after having a stroke for 18 months, you look like you're kind of on the way back.
Well, basically, I was determined and am determined to get back as much of my life as possible. There's some famous people, even on the Isle of Wight. Andrew Turner has had a stroke.
That's right.
And it's left him quite bad. He's a great speaker, Andrew, and I believe the stroke has affected his speaking capacity. But there's many famous people that have had strokes. Jim Bowen's another one. He's wrote a book on it. I've tried to contact Jim Bowen to make him aware of our services. But if you look around and ask around, nearly every family or series of family have had a stroke victim in their family. Mm. You know, everyone knows of a stroke victim. It's one third of the causes of death in this country.
Good grief, that is really, really scary. These are the statistics that really, we ought to be sort of putting out there so people do know. Because obviously, is there a way that we can prevent it? What if so, what?
Well, there are many publications available by experts on prevention of strokes. On our website, freedomfromstrokes.com, we publish some. Good diet is important. If you're diabetic, blood control of your blood sugars, that's very important. I'm diabetic also, and I believe it's due to my poor management of diabetes that caused my stroke.
Right, okay. You're scaring me now because I'm bordering on diabetic, and my wife was nagging at me last night to go and have another blood test and so on and so forth. And, you can help yourself. What did they tell you that caused your stroke?
Well, you know, it takes a little bit of investigation, but when they'd done the MRI scan, they worked out that it was a blockage in my brain that caused this stroke. And I'm a kind of messiah for letting people know, that people that have diabetes, just how important it is to maintain control. If you don't control your blood sugars, if they're too high or too low, they can cause plaque in your blood. The plaque turns to solids and they go to the heart, give you a heart attack, or go to the brain and give you a stroke.
So do you obviously now have to take some kind of control in your what you eat, what you drink, how much, levels, and all, so on and so forth on a daily basis?
You do. A stroke is for life, unfortunately. If you're, God forbid, you've had a stroke, but if you have, you really have to monitor everything.
Okay.
Monitor what you eat, monitor what you drink, your obesity levels. You really, really have to take the doctor's advice and do what he suggests, because they're not speaking for the sake of it. They're telling you what will prevent another stroke.
Okay. Have you up for a couple of calls?
We've got a telephone call
come through. Hi, who's this?
Hello, it's Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's very interesting hearing about someone who suffered a stroke. My husband suffered a stroke in 2000, May 2000, when he was 51. He went to work and he drove home. He came home lunchtime. And I thought, he drove home from East Cowes to Sandown. We were living there at the time. And he said he felt funny. And when he got out of the car, God knows how he got home, his speech was slurred and he had really, was losing control of his right side. And we actually did go to the doctors. I think the next day he wouldn't go anywhere, but we went to the doctors and then obviously straight into hospital. But thank God we were fortunate that he was only in there for 5 days. It was a mild stroke. He did lose the use of his right-hand side for a few weeks, and his speech was slurred. And even now, when he gets tired or uptight, his speech slips a bit. And there are words he does have trouble still trying to say sometimes. But he's made a remarkable recovery. And the only thing I think he has been left with, which I still pick up on, is he gets tired quickly. And I think initially that there's quite a lot of an emotional upset. Tears are very near the surface all the time, I find.
Absolutely.
But he did go for counselling, and he said that was one of the best things he ever, ever did. He's okay, but I still worry. I worry more than he does, that if he ever says to me, oh, I've got a headache, I think, oh, why have you got a headache? Why have you got a headache?
Yeah, you become paranoid about what's happening.
Yeah, and I have to stop myself being paranoid. But he had a history in his family of high blood pressure, and his father had died of a heart attack. And so I think now we're on the old statins and the aspirin and the lisinopril for the blood pressure. And he fortunately, at this moment in time, is really very, very fit and very well. So, there is there is recovery, but of course it depends on the severity of the stroke. He did have an MRI scan, and they did say that there had been no bleeding in the brain, so we took that as a good sign. But it's a humiliation of suddenly not being able to even do a button up or dress yourself, and all those sorts of things have to be taken into account. Apart from the physical problems, it's the emotional and the humiliation that I think he felt for those first few weeks. But all my children were absolutely fantastic. Two of them at the time were on the mainland, and one was already here, my eldest daughter, and she was the mainstay, the kingpin that kept us all on an even keel. My son came up from the mainland overnight just to see him, and went to the hospital and washed him and dressed him and, you know, helped him get sort of into the toilet, that sort of thing. And my youngest daughter came up, she actually took a week off her university course and came up, and she was the, because I need your help as well.
She's your rock.
My eldest daughter was the sensible, let's be practical, and I needed that as well. I also needed someone who was going to mother me and cuddle me and you know, help me as well, and my husband then. And so the three of them were a very good group, because they were all very different personalities. But at that time, the three of them worked perfectly together and got us through it.
You said earlier on that your husband was 51, and that's roughly the same age you were.
Yeah, it was.
So,
yeah.
I mean, here we are. I don't know how long.
12 years ago.
So it is 12 years
May
ago.
May 2000, he had it.
So I mean, how is he compared to you, Bob, in recovery?
Well, 12 years is a long time to recover, and if he's done everything he can to keep fit and get fit, I'm sure that's helped him.
He was back reasonably well within, I should think, within about 3 months. He got, within a few weeks, he got his movement back in his hands, because it was a very temporary phase, if you like.
Yeah, he's very lucky. Strokes are individual. Every stroke is different.
They are.
But as you said, the emotional side is something I wasn't told about as to what would happen to me. Tears are very close to the surface whenever I talk about stroke, I equate my stroke with a car crash. You know, one moment you're fully fit, and next moment you're severely damaged in an accident.
I mean, there was no hint of it. There was no hint. You know, it just
very traumatic.
A bolt from the blue. And I think that, you know, we do think, like I said, that he has made really a 99.9% recovery, I think. But it's still in my mind, probably more than in his. And also, another thing I think was an awful thing. That all these sort of do-gooder people saying, of course, you'll have another one in 5 years, and that'll be it. And that first 5 years, you think, am I going to have another one? And that is so silly to say silly things like that. You know, you might never have another one.
Of course, it's a myth. If you take care of yourself, you know, there's good reason to believe you won't have another one.
But, you know, we have been through some very, very hard times since, on a personal level, with business sort of going
on, yeah.
And he's weathered that, and with no ill effects, so I still think, if we can deal with all that, that was still a bit of a grim time for us, but we're through all that, getting through, and he's, you know, touch wood, I know it sounds a bit silly, touch wood, but we just are so thankful that
Of course, the stroke doesn't just devastate the person that's had it. It does the family, because it means a change of life for everybody concerned. A stroke person needs all the support he can get. I'm glad to hear that your husband has received it from you and your family.
Yeah,
he's a very lucky man.
Family more than anything, because to be honest, he did recover. I mean, I know it sounds an awful thing to say. He did recover very, very quickly. He was determined. He wasn't going to be like that, and he did recover. And we are very fortunate, and we have, you know, he's back at work full time. He does find sometimes things get to him more, and he has had some time off with what the doctor did say was a stress-related problem, and he did need some time out from work because it was getting to him at work at times. And so he does find some things really do get to him more, but he sort of just shouts at me and offloads at me.
Well, that, unfortunately, that is a sign of stroke. You know, we shout and rave. not only because we feel it's unjust, but yeah. it affects the brain in many ways. And shouting is unfortunately.
Well, shouting. I mean, he offloads on me if he's had a rotten day at work. You know, the minute he's through the door, before he's even walked down the hallway, it's all coming out, which I'm glad, rather than it all sit there and brew. But then he does say, "Oh, I'm sorry. You know, you get it on." I said, "It doesn't matter. You know, that's what I'm here for. You know, I don't mind that. I'm sounding bored. That's not a problem to me at all." But it is a devastating thing, and it is something that you can't see, can you? You can't put a bandage around it.
You don't see it coming. When I had my stroke, I went to bed, as I said, able. I didn't feel ill at all. I woke up during the night, and I thought I was having a hypo because I'm diabetic. So I had some food, and normally that would just correct it, and I went back to sleep. But in the morning, like your husband, I woke up, I started to get out of bed, and I started feeling woozy and dizzy, and you know, I don't know why, because I've seen the adverts for strokes and what to do if somebody has
like
a stroke.
Watching,
but I never thought for a minute I was having a stroke, and I was just determined myself to come back to England, where I could go into an English hospital and English doctors treat me. Because in Spain, in the places like I went to Villajoyosa, they only spoke Spanish. So I was an English patient in a Spanish hospital with no one speaking English at all. One interpreter.
And the last thing you need is any extra stress.
No, my goodness, it was very hard. And I come back a wreck. You know, the emotional side, I was crying all the time. It's strange. I had a diabetes expert course to go on to 3 months after my stroke. And I went there and I sat there, listened to the tutor, and all of a sudden I started laughing, and I just could not stop laughing. I said, "I'm terribly sorry, I can't stop laughing. It's nothing to do with you, it's my stroke." And after saying that, within 1 or 2 seconds I burst into tears. And I had to leave the room. Now I'm a 51 or now 53 year old adult. It's very humiliating to do this. And you know, I just had to excuse myself and leave the room.
He actually didn't go onto the stroke unit because they said you're far too young to go into that environment. He went on to like a medical unit, which after a couple of days he got kind of like a little card school going with all the guys in there, and it was a lovely time of year. It was hot, and he was outside on the balcony. He actually quite enjoyed himself, and so that was kind of fun and good, because he's got a sense of humour, which does help as well. And afterwards, I seem to recall he did have to fill. There was somebody had poached him from something to do with the Stroke Association, that he had to kind of report back to them every so often and fill in some reports. But we haven't had anything for a long while now, so I guess it was just a kind of a follow-up type thing. But you know, now we don't really even think about it, if you like, which is good, because you don't want it, you don't need it to govern your every waking hour. But initially, for the first, like yourself, you're still in a way fresh from it.
Yeah.
But I must admit now, I mean, we don't give it a thought. You know, we've been on holiday since, we've flown to the Far East several times since. It's not, you know, it doesn't seem to be a problem. I was a little bit worried when he first got behind the wheel of a car again, but he was fine. So I don't give that any thought anymore. The only time is when, if I see him getting a little bit agitated about anything, mostly work-related, or if he says, I've got a headache or a backache. That was the other thing. Apparently he had a backache for a little while beforehand, and that could be some kind of prelude to something happening. So if he says to me, "I've got a bit of a backache," I say, "Oh, is it all right? You know, it's not a horrible one like you had before." And you say, no, I've pulled a muscle, I think. And it's always all right, but it's me that's probably
you
more...
believe anything and analyse anything that's
happened
to
you now. Yeah, you do. And I have to sort of think, well, you know, get a hold on yourself here.
Yeah, constant vigil, isn't there?
Yeah.
But St Mary's Stroke Unit is so busy, that's why he never went on it, because they're so inundated with patients, with 600 patients a year on the Isle of Wight that require stroke rehabilitation. Yeah. They just have not got the resources. They're fantastic people. They started an outreach team, which go out to the patients' homes, and they generally go out for up to 8 weeks. But after that, you're relegated to Ladlaw House, where they're very good also, but they can only give you... about half or an hour once a week, or maybe twice if you're lucky. But that's not good enough. You'd need constant rehabilitation. It doesn't end after the 8 weeks.
I think we were very fortunate that he obviously had a very mild one, because we didn't need to have go down that road at all.
How lucky.
The only thing he did have, which did help him a huge amount, was a squashy spongy ball to keep squeezing to get his hand working again. And that did help a great amount, things like that. But after that, we really just did our own thing, if you like, and he did what he felt he could do as and when. And I tried not to stop him by being too fussy,
of course,
but made sure I wasn't far away. To the post office, I thought, well, I'll wait, and then I'll keep looking out the window to make sure he'd come back, but not let him know I was doing that. You know, you do get paranoid about it.
You get anxious about it, of course.
Jackie, thanks very much for coming on today and sharing us the story.
Good luck with you, and I'm sure your recovery will continue, because
thank you very
you've
much.
Got the right attitude, the right positive approach, which is what you need.
They call it PMA, positive mental attitude, and I believe in that, and it's the only way forward.
Yeah, I wish you well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Jackie. Bye. We've had numerous people trying to get through, and you know, we do have busy lines. There's a lot of people that want to share their stories and talk to you as well. The lines are now free: 533-063, 527-444, 527-444. I've got some messages here that were put on Facebook in the last little while, and hopefully I'm hoping that this guy will actually phone in. He's phoned in a couple of times this week, actually. Ian Dunsire. Now, you mentioned Andrew Turner. Now, Ian Dunsire was one of the parliamentary candidates that stood against Andrew Turner at the last election. He had a mini stroke, a TIA.
What
does a TIA actually stand for?
A TIA is a minor stroke. I think it's well, look it up in Google, but I think it's transit. I'm sorry, I can't tell you the exact words,
right,
but
we'll
it is a minor stroke.
He had one 2 years ago. St Mary's were brilliant. Decided to stand for Parliament to get over it and my brain and get my brain working again. Good therapy, but I'd not recommend it to everyone. And he goes on to say that both his mums died of stroke-related illness brought on by dementia. Very sad ending. It is a very sad ending. Is it, you know, can you pass it down? Is it that kind
of... No, it's not hereditary. They don't quite know why people suffer strokes. It can be a mixture of things, but it's very important to get your cholesterol right, and this is why we have statins, to try to reduce the cholesterol, because cholesterol means a build up of plaque in your arteries, and that's what causes strokes and heart attacks.
Right, okay. Now, are you a plant? Because my wife has been going on at me for the last... Honestly, I went to the doctor 2 months ago. I went to the doctor because my eyes were getting worse. I'd started wearing glasses 2 years ago, and I'd gone through three sets of glasses, you know, because I had to have them changed. And I went to the doctor and I thought, well, rather than keep changing my glasses, let's see if there's something wrong. Had a blood test. They did the test. They then sent me up to you know, the hospital to have more blood tests. They tested my blood pressure. They came back and they said, your cholesterol was 6.9 and now it's 6.8.
Wow, yeah, at least a bit, three or less.
Three or less?
Yeah, really.
Well, they were telling me five. So well, who do I believe?
I believe the doctors.
Four.
Right.
I got mine down to 3.7, but it was 7.9. So with the tablets, I managed to get it down and keep it down.
Right, okay. And ever since then, I went back after 2 months because they offered me medication, and I said, no, I'm a little bit tubby, I know what's wrong, I'm eating the wrong kind of food, and I stopped eating that wrong kind of food. I've lost about 1.5 stone, I've gone back, and there's no mention of another blood test, so I asked them about my eyes, and then they said, oh, well, you better go up and have another blood test. And I just thought, you're just getting shoved up there for a blood test. They could have done it down there, there was no one else in the doctors. I get frustrated, I got lots of time, I don't have lots of time to be going here, there and everywhere, but now I'm thinking, hey, hang on a minute, you better start making time.
Yeah, your body comes first.
The reason why I ask if you're a plant is because we were only talking about this last night, because I said, well, what's the point? I'll go up there, have another blood test, they'll say, it's 5.2, you need to come down a little bit more. And, you know, but what about me eyes? That's the original problem I went in about me eyes. So that's what I really, really want to find out. So is it frustrating for you? I mean, obviously, you don't know, because this happened, bang, you did. There was no
I don't think people do know. People don't realise it's coming on until it's happened, and then you've got to deal with the aftermath. It's very, very debilitating. And as I said, you go back to being a child, because a child, if you notice a child starts to learn to walk, to eat. If you see a child trying to feed itself for the first couple of months of its life, it takes the food into the spoon, attempts to put it into its mouth, and very often it flicks it across the room. I used to think, quite wrongly, that's just a child being naughty. But no, I actually done the same thing when I started to learn to eat again, because I had to learn to pick up a glass and drink from it, pick up my food with a spoon. Very, very difficult. You go back to ground zero of being reborn, I suppose. That's why we're called stroke survivors, I think.
So do you actually, I mean, when you're in that process then, do you actually not remember being able to eat before? Or?
Yeah, you remember it. It's just the parts of the brain that are affected by the stroke. They send signals to the limbs, but if you've had a short circuit of the brain, which is what I said a stroke is, it doesn't send the signals down the same pathways. It has to learn new pathways.
Right.
We know a lot about the brain, but only about 10% of the brain function do we understand. We're still learning about it now. And basically, you know, the human body's a marvellous thing, and it does reinvent itself, and the brain will reinvent itself as far as regenerating pathways to take over these functions, but it takes time. I had to learn to eat again, and I think that took me about... Well, to eat properly without, you know, needing someone else to cut my food up and make it small to swallow, it took me about 6 months.
Really, 6 months? Wow. I mean, what can you do now that you couldn't do a year or so ago?
Oh, you know, I marvel at it all the time. Little things mean so much to me. I can eat now. I can't write. I can just about write my signature, which is a scribble, but some say it was a squiggle before my stroke, but maybe it was. But no, I can do so much more now. I can walk now. I couldn't walk before. I walk with a limp because I developed a drop foot, which often happens in stroke victims. I can talk a bit better, like the last caller. When I get tired of a night time, I slur even more than I do usually. And I need more rest now. You know, sometimes stroke victims at first, they need to take a nap in the afternoon or 1 or 2 hours, because, you know, it's very tiring to try to get some treatment to rehabilitate yourself and to actually do the exercises.
How gutsy and courageous do you have to be to get to the stage where you are in you know, quite quickly?
Yeah, well...
Because obviously there are some people that never make any kind of recovery, or they can't eat for themselves. And I mean, we want to talk about the chap that's in the news at the moment that wants the right to die. I think Shirley's got some details on that. We want to ask you what your thoughts are on that. So,
well, basically, to be honest, I don't like to bang my own drum, but I'm a very self-determined person. I don't let anything beat me, and I like independence. I don't like people to have to hold me hand, feed me, wash me, help me up the stairs, put me into bed, turn me over, which is what initially had to happen. I had to have a wheelchair just go to the toilet, because I couldn't go from the lounge to the toilet without a chair, and I was too heavy to carry. So, you know, you have to be determined. What I found most difficult was finding outside help. The NHS was great. I can't speak highly enough of St Mary's, the stroke unit, stroke outreach team, and Ladlaw House. But after the initial 8 weeks, you're sent out into the world to try to fend for yourself. And you really do need to keep the exercises up. You need the motivation, and you need intensive therapy. And that's why I come up with the idea of Freedom from Strokes, because we take people to the hospital that I found in Hungary, which is a specialist hospital in stroke rehabilitation. We take them there all the way. We go with them. We stay with them throughout. We translate for them. They're given a beautiful room, beautiful food, and the staff and nurses, doctors are fantastic people. And they actually are very happy to put themselves out to make you well again and get the most out of you that's possible.
Okay, what I want to do is I want to take a quick break. I want to come back and I want to find out more about the business that you've said. Trips to. So you've been to Hungary yourself. Did you go on this yourself?
Yeah, I've been to Hungary twice already. I'm due to go again in September.
Okay, so we'll come back and we'll talk some more. And hopefully we might take one or two more calls before 1 o'clock. But I definitely want to talk about that in just two ticks. So quick break and then we'll come back.
The Isle of Wight phone-in is sponsored by the Proper Pasty Company of Cowes. Go and get a proper freshly cooked pasty from Medina Road in West Cowes, by the floating bridge.
I was the fireman.
I was a head teacher.
I was the managing director of a transport company.
What do these people have in common? They are all stroke survivors. Freedom from Strokes knows that everybody is different. Individual rehabilitation services from Freedom from Strokes. Take control today. My stroke changed my life. With rehabilitation, I regained my independence. I got myself the support I needed. Freedom from Strokes, 01983 861008, or visit the website www.freedomfromstrokes.com.
Isle of Wight Cycle Hire is part of Value Rent-A-Car. They offer customers a wide range of bicycles at £10 a day or £50 for the whole week, including free local delivery. Ladies, men's and child's mountain bikes, or enjoy the pleasure of cycling on the island with their new tandem bike range. Isle of Wight Cycle Hire is based in Sandown on the Isle of Wight and has a secure online booking service. Log on to www.value-rentacar.co.uk or phone 01983 401 333. That's 01983 401 333.
The Proper Pasty Company in Cowes. Handmade, freshly cooked Cornish pasties. Lamb and mint, chicken and bacon, steak and ale, or traditional. And for the vegetarian, cheese and onion. Try the meal deal for just £3.20. Not just pasties either. You can get breakfast baps too. Sausage, egg, bacon. Or try the breakfast meal deal for under £3. The Proper Pasty Company, Medina Road in West Cowes, by the floating bridge. Pasties made the proper way.
Having a party? Organising a wedding? Let West Wight Disco be the soundtrack to your party anywhere on the island. We carry an extensive range of music from the 1940s to today's top 40 and we'll play the music that you want. On a tight budget, we can hire out DIY disco equipment too. Call Kelvin on 0800 118 2484, email info@westwightdisco.uk or via the Vectis Radio website.
Here, need an haircut? Then you need Squire's Men's Barbershop in Pyle Street, Newport. Efficient, friendly and affordable service. Open 6 days a week, in and out in no time at all. Squires, the men's barbershop in Pyle Street, Newport.
The Isle of Wight phone-in is sponsored by the Proper Pasty Company of Cowes. Get a meal for just £3.20. Any freshly baked pasty and a drink from Medina Road in West Cowes by the floating bridge.
Okay, we've got Bob Dalton, who's not a stroke victim. He's not a... You're a stroke survivor.
That's right.
That's the terminology. And that's a positive terminology. Is that... How quickly did that sort of stamp on you? The fact that you're not a stroke victim, you are a stroke survivor.
I don't know where the terminology come from, but it does actually describe what we are. People that are strokes, as I said to you earlier, one-third of stroke victims actually die. And one-third of them get better very quickly. They have TIAs or smaller strokes. But one-third, like myself, are severely disabled through having a stroke. So we are survivors.
Good for you. Good for you. You mentioned going to Hungary. And what I want you to do, I want you to spend a bit of time now, because obviously, you want to talk about your website, because there is a website. There's also a telephone number. So I want to hand it over to you now, and you plug and promote away.
Oh, thank you very much. Freedomfromstrokes.com, all one word, www.freedomfromstrokes.com. www.thehungryman.com. It gives you all the information on my journey to Hungary. It gives you my personal story. But basically, a friend suggested that I went to Hungary, where a family friend had a stroke and was put into this specialist hospital called Parád Ferdán. Northern Hungary, set in beautiful hillside, and the rehabilitation treatment is second to none. You get up to 10 different therapies a day. Your day starts at 8 o'clock and generally finishes about 3. And they take care of everything for you. But the most important thing is it's intensive therapy. That's what we all need, intensive therapy to teach us how to exercise, what to do. And the different types of therapy have amazing effects. And they tailor-make your treatment to suit you.
How does the care in somewhere like Hungary compare to Britain?
Well, you know, as I said to you earlier, NHS are wonderful people, but they're very limited. The places on the stroke unit are limited. Generally, if you go into the hospital today with a stroke, you won't get admitted straight to the stroke unit because they haven't got the availability. You're generally put in a medical assessment ward until a bed becomes available. In Hungary, the Hungarian people actually wait up to 2 years to get into this hospital after the stroke. It's a state-run hospital, but I managed to secure the services of 5 bedrooms for my own patients, our European patients. We're contracted with a hospital now for the European Union to take patients, which we go with them. We take care of all the paperwork, the doctor's notes. We go to the hospital, they have full medical. They work out a plan of action as to what treatment they require. It can be adjusted as necessary because different therapies affect different people. And generally, you're in an environment that is conducive to getting better. I come back the first time from Hungary and I recognise I was at least 20% better. I went there with an arm that I couldn't raise above my shoulder level. Now, as you can see, I'm raising my arm above my head.
Sure.
And I've got about 85% movement back, and I continue to improve.
So, how frustrating. That's something that you just raise your arm and you're struggling to do that, and I'm thinking, I can do that just like that. How frustrating must that be? Can you put that into words?
Well, again, the lady called earlier said her husband gets frustrated just to do a button up, to do his zip up. Simple things that we all take for granted become a monumental task for stroke victims. It's very frustrating, and I can only sympathise for people that are far worse off than me.
Yeah, I've heard of people that say in some cases they've actually died. So I mean, you know, that's the worst thing that can happen. But there you are. When you've got your arm and you can only get it up that far, what's now the goal for you as a stroke survivor? I'm getting the terminology now. As a stroke survivor, is there there must be a determination to think, right, okay, this time next month I'm going to get it up a little bit higher?
That's exactly what I've done. I set myself goals and targets. You know, in the first month I wanted to be able to walk again with the aid of a stick. Within 2 months I wanted to be able to raise my arm. Some of the goals are achievable early and some are not. In reality, as I said earlier, stroke is for life. You've got to continue to work at it and improve. My goal now, which I've set for myself, is to be able to walk without a limp, to be able to walk without tripping up, which my drop foot does for me, and to raise my arm completely to the side of my head, as I do now with my left arm.
Yeah.
And just generally get fit. I've joined the gym to do this as well. I continue to go out to Hungary approximately every 6 months because I found it so beneficial. Not everyone can do that. I'm fortunate I can. But when I Googled stroke rehabilitation and I Googled some help for stroke victims, physiotherapists and that, I just could not get anything in England that compares to Hungary. There's only one firm in England, they've got about 4 centres, and they charge £90 an hour. Well, you know, we charge for 3 weeks stroke therapy, which is, as I said, inclusive of everything, your food, your drink, your accommodation, your flights, your transfers, somebody staying with you throughout, your therapies, your doctors, everything you can imagine that I needed when I went there, and I could see ways of improving. We charge £1,500 a week for, so that's £4,500. But when I'd done a recent seminar and brought up the money, some people said, oh, that's a lot of money. But how much money would you pay to get your health back? And somebody quite rightly said, well, I'm a pensioner, and if I went for 3 weeks, where it's all inclusive, I would come back to 3 weeks' pension building up. I wouldn't have no bills to pay during the 3 weeks, apart from perhaps my mortgage or rent. And in that price is also 63 meals, which are all costs attributable to. So all in all, £1,500 for 7 days stroke rehabilitation, intensive therapy, staying in a beautiful country, in a beautiful accommodation, nice people, nice food, nice drink. It's relatively cheap. Mm. It's arguable, but I tried to compare the sort of therapy treatment with the private healthcare like Bupa or like HSA or likes. I'm sure somebody would phone up and shoot me down in flames, but I would say I estimate the cost, if it was available, which I don't believe it is because I couldn't see it, the equivocal cost would be about £20,000, and we're doing it for £4,500, and we treat everybody as an individual. We take people in hand, hold their hand throughout. We empathise with them. We don't sympathise. We encourage them. We take the worry out of everything. The worry of going to a foreign country is uppermost. But we even allow people to take a spouse with them, a partner with them, a husband, wife, son, daughter, friend. They go with them and stay with them during this duration in their own room. They share the room with the stroke patient. There's separate beds. There's cooking facilities in the room, microwave, kettle, toaster, TV, DVD, Wi-Fi. The rooms are beautiful. They've been remodeled, especially for our patients. And the hospital actually needs this revenue. It's creating revenue for the hospital where they can improve their services, maintain their jobs. The hospitals over in Hungary are poorly paid. They're basic hospitals, but they are so good at what they do. The staff over there earn little, but their commitment to their work is second to none. They are wonderful people.
Do you know what? You sound like an incredible man, because I was just hearing you talk then, and you know, you've been through something really traumatic yourself, and there you are, you come out the other side, or you're coming out the other side, and you're putting something back in and worrying about other people that have gone through the same thing as you, which is phenomenal. It really is.
Well, the most important thing, I would say, the immediate improvement I made when I was there, in the 5 weeks I was there initially, I got what we call the mojo back. I'm an entrepreneur by nature. I can see opportunities in making business. I run a few successful companies on the Isle of Wight. I own property, which I rent out, maintain. Basically, I'm independent, an individual that's made my own success on the island. And when I had my stroke, it was all taken away from me. I couldn't work. I had to give power of attorney to my manager, because I was unable to sign checks. I was unable to take my affairs seriously or you know, make proper decisions. So I called a solicitor. He came to my home. We gave power of attorney to my manager, and she took over my affairs. But now I'm back. Now I feel back in control. My head's right. I feel good. I feel a lot better than what I was. I can see the improvement. And I continue to make improvements every day.
Oh, I know. And you're even to the point where you're telling me how to make commercials earlier, aren't
you? Well, you know, I gave it some thought. I thought, well, let's do a commercial for Vectors Radio, because you've got such a lot of interesting listeners, not only on the island, but throughout Europe. And we want to reach people to let them know there's now an alternative service available to assist. We don't claim to be able to cure, but what we can do by our service, we can actually improve your lifestyle, give you back some independence.
Okay, we'll talk about their website again in a minute and give out all the details, but there's another call coming through. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian. It's Ian Dunsire.
Hello, Ian. I'm glad you phoned in.
Oh, and well, I just wanted to say what a good job Bob's doing.
Yeah, no, he's a phenomenal bloke, and I know that you've been through similar instances yourself.
Hardly anything compared with him, but that's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Go on.
Only that prevention is better than cure a lot of the time, and I get really cross in recent years. We've had so many mixed messages about taking a quarter aspirin every day. And if I hadn't taken a quarter aspirin, I'd probably be dead.
Yeah.
And anyone who's got any sorts of cholesterol problems or heart problems or anything like that ought to be on a quarter aspirin every day. It doesn't do any harm to your stomach like some people give you the fear factor. And, you know, they can literally save lives. It made the difference between a full-blown stroke for me and I just fortunately got away with a TIA, which is a very small one.
Well, of course, aspirin's actually, amongst the many medicinal factors, they thin the blood. And, of course, if your blood's a little bit thinner than normal, that's got to help, hasn't it?
Yeah, I had atrial fibrillation, Bob, which meant that I had clots building up in the chamber of my heart. And if I hadn't been taking the aspirin, the clot would have been an awful lot bigger.
Yeah, I'm actually on aspirin every day, and I've been taking
it. You're not on warfarin, I'm amazed.
No, I'm not on warfarin. I'm on aspirin. I've been on aspirin for, well, probably 10 years before my stroke. In this case, it didn't prevent my stroke, but I believe I know what caused my stroke, and it's poor control of my diabetes. With diabetes, you aim to get between 6 and 8 a blood count on your machine, and what you eat and what you do, your energy you exceed, and basically you try to keep to that level, because over the count of 10, the white blood cells, I believe, turn to plaque, and it's the plaque that caused my stroke. It could have caused a heart attack, but unfortunately, and I prefer a heart attack to a stroke, I don't think there's much worse than a stroke because how debilitating it is. At least with a heart attack, you can get better and do the usual things with your body. But with a stroke, it just robs you.
I was only fortunately seconds for me, but I can understand how frustrating it must be for you for having that as an ongoing. But you seem to be making a great job of getting yourself better again, and keep it up, mate. Keep it up.
Thank you very much.
Ian, are you now like fully recovered?
It was very strange. I crashed out for about 20 seconds, and Barbara said, "What the hell's wrong with you?" And I said, "I had a stroke." I couldn't raise my arm, and I was slurring. But after about 30 seconds, I knew exactly what was wrong with me, and it had gone away, and I didn't get to the hospital for 4 days.
Wow.
Which was absolutely stupid.
Of course.
But it was over New Year, it was all closed, and then when the hospital did open again, it was snowed in, and I had to walk from Island Harbour to St Mary's in about 2 foot of snow. But they were brilliant once I got there.
They treat TIAs as a medical emergency now.
Oh, yeah, they were absolutely brilliant. I just wished I'd gone earlier. But anyway, I'm on this horrible warfarin stuff now, and it's an absolute pain to keep it balanced. But, hey, I'm alive, and I had to do something, and I was so cross with the politics going on then that I thought, blimey, the best way to get my brain going again is stand for MP, and it worked, but I wouldn't recommend it to everybody.
No.
That must be very stressful.
It certainly was, but it got me thinking again, because I was definitely slower. I definitely couldn't put thoughts together.
No.
And as you must feel.
Well, they say use it or lose it.
And to have to go on the stage and do the phone-ins and do phone-ins with Ian and never knowing what the next question was going to be, that, I think, was part of the therapy.
But, do you know why you don't know the next question? It's because I don't know the next question yet. I haven't even thought of it. It's still.
Yeah, but I'm supposed to have the right answer. You can just ad-lib.
Ian, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for your story.
All right. Keep up the good work.
Take care. Ian. Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, that's it for the phone calls. I've just got to read out a couple of messages, and then the last word will be from you, because we haven't been able to get a word in edgeways anyway, have we?
No, but it's very interesting, though.
We thought we'd have to do all the talking, but no, we can't shut him up.
That's great.
Carmel says, I've had a few TIAs, never went to hospital, prefer to deal with it myself, though had GP out a few times, but just deal with it now after a change of diet. They are rare for me now, but have to stay aware. Not saying my way is the way everyone should deal with it, just what suits me best, but I have strategies. Fascinating phone-in today. Thank you. Even mini strokes have the same mental and emotional effects, along with the fatigues, etc. All very good info being given. So that's from Mrs. J. Thank you for that.
Well, I would just say to Carmel, saying that you deal with it your own way. There is no way to deal with it for yourself. You need medical intervention. You need to get to your doctor, get to the hospital. As I said, they treat minor strokes, TIAs, as a medical emergency. But God forbid, TI turns into a full-blown stroke. They've now got a drug that actually intervenes, and you have to have the drug, I believe, within 4 hours. 4 hours is golden time, and it's a clot buster. So if you're having a stroke, a TIA or whatever, and they can get this clot buster into you, it can prevent major disabilities. And if I could have got the clot buster within 4 hours, I believe I would have been less disabled, if not not disabled at all. But I'm classed as severely disabled because of my condition. But I hope within a while, I can't really say a year or two, I hope that I will improve to the point where I get declassified. I don't want to be disabled. I don't like saying I'm disabled. I want to be back to work, back to independence.
Good for you. Amanda says, because we put a question on Facebook yesterday, talking to a stroke, sorry, I put victim, I'm going to put on there sufferer, not survivor. Survivor. Yeah. Do apologise. Talking to a stroke survivor on the show, have you ever suffered a stroke or lived with someone that has? Amanda says, neither to those questions, but my friend Steph had a stroke when she was just 20. I admire her because with all of the other health issues she'd had, she got since, she's still fighting on, and she's still a great person, and I'm honoured to be her friend. I mean, 20 is no age, but I mean, there's no age limit, is
there? It can happen to babies. Actually, babies in the womb can have strokes. And when I was in hospital, I had an 80-year-old man next to me receiving treatment. Not because he had a stroke, but because he wanted restorative therapy. He wanted to build himself up so he could do the next 12 months, because he does them 12 months tranches. He wanted to use all the healing properties that the hospital provides to make himself as fit as possible. 80 years old, and his wife was 76, and they both went to the hospital. You know, I urge people to look at our website, not to book, but just to have a look, because we've got so much information on the website. We've got stroke prevention on the website. We've got the description of the videos of the treatment being used. It's called freedomfromstrokes.com. Have a look, and if you want any other information, you can contact us on www.freedomfromstrokes.com, or you can ring 01983 861 008, or ring me. We will come out to you as an individual and talk to you personally and privately in your own home.
Do you know what, Bob, the last hour has been a real pleasure. Thank you. And it's been a bit of an eye-opener. You've got to come back again.
Thank you very much, Ian, for having me.
No problem whatsoever. It's thank you, Cheryl. It's 2 minutes away from 1 o'clock. Pete's on the way next with the afternoon show.
Vectis Radio.